the trend in education, I'm talking about what's happening in this country. One of the reasons I think our campaign resonated as much is because, well, we went out and talked about things that people don't necessarily feel comfortable talking about in politics. We went out and talked about the real fundamental problems that are confronting this country. And I always did so from the standpoint of the reference of, well, what kind of country are we? Who are we? What is America? Because that really is the big question before us. I mean, the dinner is called the Liberty Campaign Dinner. And we always think of America, we think of liberty as sort of the hallmark, freedom is the hallmark. But as you heard Luke talk about with Teddy Roosevelt, freedoms and liberty and rights are only part of the story of what America is really all about. And I went around and talked about those things and talked about how this election, and more broadly speaking, this time in American history will be looked back upon as an inflection point in America. You can go back and look at different times in America where maybe they didn't realize it at the time, but certainly history has noted that America changed during this period. The most recent time clearly was the 60s. America changed and started on a different course. And we are far, far down that road now. So much so that the real foundational principles upon which our country is founded are really in question as to whether they are valid. Walking through Oakdale Academy today, I saw on the bulletin board the topic for, I don't remember exactly what contest it was, but the topic was, is our Constitution still relevant, still important? Can you imagine asking that question 50 years ago? But that is a legitimate question to be asked in the world today. Why? Because we have leaders of our country who are asking that, who are pushing that, who are attempting that. Our very foundational principles are being shaken, and they're crumbling. America is a very different country today. In some respects, for the better. In my opinion, in many respects, not so much. And so the question is, well, what do we do about it? Well, let me disabuse you of something. Do not look to Washington to solve this problem. Right. I spent 16 years in public life. I got there young. Very young, 32 years of age, to the Congress. And I can tell you, having spent time on the back bench and in the minority and on the front bench and in leadership, there are very few leaders in Washington. Very few leaders in Washington. There are a lot of followers. The Congress, I found, someone asked me, what did I learn today? Someone asked me, maybe at the table, what I learned in being in Congress. I learned that Congress is a reflection of us. Yes. For better and for worse. And that the people who are elected to Congress, even though they may see themselves as leaders, don't get very far out, even if they do try to lead, which again, very few do. They don't get very far ahead of the pack. What you see in Washington, if you're honest about it, is what you see in America. There is one strong leader in Washington right now, and that is the President of the United States. He is unafraid to lead. He is convicted to try to transform this country. And he's willing to go out, and sometimes far out ahead of the pack. Now, he has the support of a national media which covers him and makes it look like he's not as far out ahead as he is. But I give him credit for his boldness, and for his willingness to challenge America and what we are and what we think and how we think. And he succeeded. And he'll have three more years, maybe We've been with the Democratic Congress in 2 years to solidify the gains that they have made. But that's only a piece of the puzzle. What's going on across America, in our popular culture, in our news media, in our universities, with a few notable exceptions, in primary and secondary education, in the church, and in the family. Fundamental shifts. Some happened long ago, others are underway right now. How is this happening? How is this revolution taking place? I see that Oakdale Academy says a revolution in education. Well, how did this revolution that we're experiencing right now take place? Well, let's go back and think about how our revolution took place. Back in the 1700s. Why were we successful? We were fighting the strongest army in the history of the world. The most powerful nation on earth. And we were a group of ragtag people. Fighting firepower and discipline and order. How do we succeed? We succeeded because we had that revolutionary spirit. We were willing to go all in. To the British, we were a pimple. Something that they didn't want to bother with. Something that they just wanted to crush and get rid of. The problem, but it wasn't the focus of the British people or the crown. But for the revolutionaries of the revolution in America, they were all in. Those signers of the Declaration who pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Think about that. Men of means, the most powerful in the world and the country, willing to sacrifice everything for this notion of, as Roosevelt said, self-government. They lived it every day, in every aspect of their life. They fought for it, and they did their duty over those who just thought, well, if we just keep doing what we're doing, if we just follow the rules, follow orders, you know, well, obviously because we're here and this is just the way things are always going to be. We'll end up late. Because we have the resources. We have the power. And so it has happened again in America. The revolutionaries, the people with the passion to transform America, are succeeding. Because they live it every day. They have gone out and they have worked their tails off to one by one topple the institutions that make up this country and pervert it and contort it into their worldview and thereby infect the rest of us who sit with the assumption that things will be as they always were. Why? Well, because we're Americans. Well, what is America? Yes, it's a country. Of course it's a country. But we're all hyphenated Americans. Irish Americans, African Americans, Italian Americans. America is not an ethnicity, it's not a race, it's an ideal. It's a dream. It's a set of principles and values. That's what we've always held to. It is changing. We can think that America is still the same country, but it is changing. Those values are changing. Those founding principles that were laid out in the Declaration of Independence that rallied people around this country to sacrifice all for these high-minded principles. Those principles are being cast asunder. in the world today. G.K. Chesterton wrote at the turn of the century, in response to a request by a British publication. The British publication asked this question of several famous writers at the time. They asked them to write an essay entitled, "What's Wrong with the World?" Chesterton agreed to write it, thought about it, penned an answer, and sent it back in. And here's what it read. Now, you'll see my skills at recitation. Chesterton wrote, "What's wrong with the world? I am." Respectfully submitted, G.K. Chesterton. Okay, it's not Roosevelt's speech. But those two words speak to the very heart of the issue in America today. We may all think we're living good and decent lives and doing our best, but what is happening in America today, what's wrong with America today, rests with each and every one of us. And that's the reason I'm here tonight. Because we have a group of people, I took my picture with the founding eight of Oakdale Academy. They decided, maybe they read Chesterton, maybe they were inspired by other things, maybe they were just frustrated as heck. That they decided to say, it is my responsibility. I'm taking the responsibility to deal with the dysfunction in the education system in our country that's affecting my children and the people of my community. They looked and see what's happening as they try to raise their children. We all do, whether children or grandchildren. There used to be a time in America where institutions like schools and churches and movies and even television and music would ennoble, would support parents in their effort to instill good values, virtue into their children. Now you are fighting against all of those institutions. The popular culture sends a stream of violence, filth, pornography, relativism. I go on and on and on every single day. Your children. If there's statues made to children of today, they won't be the thinker. They'll be this. Right? Maybe for parents of today too, but moving on. Your children are being educated, being formed, by consuming 40 to 50 hours a week of the popular culture. Now, your children may be different. Now. You may be able to protect them now. But they will be out there too. And they will be bombarded with all the things you tell your children are wrong. And then, of course, when they go to college, we mentioned Hillsdale College, one of the great institutions of higher learning. But it is a small percentage of Hillsdale colleges in this country. Most of the colleges and universities in this country have long since forgotten what truth, what veritas is, and indoctrinate our children with a very different view of the world and what's right and what's wrong. In fact, they don't even say there is a right or wrong. Yet we as a society continue to support them. I suspect there are even people in this room who send money to some of your large state schools here in Michigan. Why? Because they have a good football program?
Yeah.
Good basketball program? So you write the check? To give them money to turn around and to poison the minds of the children who are going to that school? Why do you do that? Stop it! And of course, primary and secondary education. That used to be, in the area of education, the place that was holding out. Why? Because we had so much local control of schools. And at least your public schools could reflect the local community values. But as we all know, there's one thing that I learned about the left in America. They hate competition. They hate competition. And so they destroy it. They get anything that's in their way that is counter to what they believe in. They are intolerant. And so they destroy it and turn it into a reflection of their worldview and call that neutral. Getting rid of all the virtues and biblical truth. Wiping religion out of the public square is neutral. As if what they believe in is not its own theology. And so they have successfully accomplished that in public education in America. So where do you go? Think about what they're up to next. Undermining and destroying the family unit. They've already succeeded in large part, let's be honest about it. The state of marriage in America is not a healthy one. Our children are growing up, particularly those who are not from wealthy families, are growing up in most cases without a father in the home. Think about that. The bottom 80% of Americans, take the top 20% out. The marriage rates among the top 20% of Americans is really no different than it was 40 years ago. It's about 70% of high-income people in America ages 18 to 50 are married. Pretty much what it was in 1970, 1980. But if you're in that bottom 20%, about a third are married. A third of fathers are in the home. And the majority, fair majority now, of people in that bottom 80% now don't have fathers in the home. The American family is being destroyed even before we start talking about these other issues related to marriage. Because we've been convinced that marriage is simply about loving each other. If that's all marriage is about, then you know what? Let anybody get married. But that's not what marriage is about. We don't teach that. We don't teach it from the pulpit anymore, which is another place that has been undermined. People afraid to get up and speak the truth lest they get less in the collection box. Because the higher income people in America don't like you to be talking about those moral issues. It's infected all over the place. And that's why this oasis of Oakdale Academy is so important. This is part of a movement But you're blessed to have people with vision. You're blessed to have people who are all in. To fight back. You saw three examples of it. But they have the courage to fight back and stand for truth. To be ridiculed as they will be. As they grow, they will be ridiculed. If they aren't already. The state bureaucracy will make it very difficult for them. The local community, whatever it is, will make it hard for them. And you will need, they will need your help. America, as you perceive it in your mind, that shining city on the hill that Ronald Reagan was talking about, if you want to leave that to the next generation, time to get to work. And whether it's in politics, whether it's in the entertainment field, whether it's in the news media, or whether it's in education, or in your own family and in your own church. In every aspect of your life, you have to be a revolutionary today if we are going to survive. You have to develop the same zeal and love for this country the people who are willing to sacrifice their lives, their fortune, and their safety. One of my favorite sayings is that every day we wake up and we tell ourselves lies so we can live. We will tell ourselves a lie that everything will be okay. If I just keep doing what I'm doing, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I remember hearing a sermon once where it made very clear to me what my duty was. My pastor was talking about Satan, what Satan tries to get you to do. I always thought Satan wanted me to do bad things. That's what the devil tries to get you to do. Tries to get you to do evil. No, what Satan really wants you to do is to do nothing. Because if you do nothing, he's got plenty of other people that will do his call. If you just sit there and watch it happen, we're watching it happen. You are here tonight. For some reason, you were called to be here. You were called to hear this message. You were called because of what you've seen and or heard about this academy. I was there today. It's a pretty small group of kids. It needs to get bigger. We need more children. We need better facilities. We need more teachers. You need to make an impact. You have some people who are willing to go to the wall and make a difference. Now it's your turn. I'm hopeful that you will be generous tonight. I want you to open up your heart and pray about what God, why God called you here. Because you have an opportunity tonight to begin to fight back. And not just with what you do tonight, but to engage in this school. And if this, for some reason, God says, well, that's not why I'm here, maybe I'm supposed to do something else. Whatever it is, please, God, do it. The time is ticking. I heard a reference earlier to the greatest generation of Americans. made the greatest generation of Americans the greatest generation of Americans? Did they have more virtue than us? Maybe. Were they stronger and more courageous than we are? Did they have a sense of duty more than we did? Maybe they did. But I remind everybody that the greatest generation sat and did nothing as Poland fell, Czechoslovakia fell, France fell, China, Philippines. We sat. Britain, our closest ally, our big brother, leveled by bombs, on the brink of collapse. Churchill pleading for us in June of 1940 for help. And the greatest generation not only did nothing, but public sentiment was overwhelmingly against getting involved in the war. Every day we get up and we tell ourselves lies so we can live the way we want to live. In the summer of 1941, a year after Dunkirk, a year after the fall of France, the House of Representatives came within one vote of abolishing the Selective Service and the draft. Eliminating our ability to even get names and get people drafted. So much was the passion to let this cup pass. So we could just live the way we want to live. The greatest generation. Pearl Harbor shocked America into recognizing what they all knew but hoped they could avoid. What will it take? What will it take? Yeah, might be enough. Well, how many say, well, I like what he had to say. It makes me think about it and just walk out of here not having done anything. Not with any purpose to make any real change. If that happens, we will be the generation that they will call the least of the greatest. I know this sounds like a real heavy time. Oh my goodness. What a burden. Let me assure you, I'm here on a Friday night. Karen and I have 7 children. I spend a lot of nights away from my home. And let me assure you, it is not an easy thing to do. Please pray for my wife and for my children. But we cannot pass up opportunities to stand for light in the dark world. Oakdale Academy is a light right here in Oakdale, in your community. That light needs to shine bright. I do not feel burdened traveling around the country talking about our responsibility at this time. I feel blessed. We are all here at a time when your country needs you. Generations come and go in America. Most are not remembered. Most did little to advance the cause of freedom. You live not in one of those times. You live at a turning point time where your country needs you not in uniform, not to carry arms, but to live fully. With that zeal that can transform our nation back principles that this